This is Scripture on Creation with Dr. Ben Scripture, discussing creation, science, and the Bible. With a Master of Divinity, a PhD in biochemistry, and over 25 years of experience studying and teaching creation, he is well equipped to address questions about creation with sound, biblical, and scientific answers. If you have a question for Dr. Scripture, contact information follows the program. And now, here is Scripture on Creation.
Thank you and welcome to Scripture on Creation. I'm Scott Kump.
And I'm Dr. Ben Scripture.
Dr. Scripture, on occasion, you decide to do a series of programs all based on references to either creation or the Creator in a specific section of Scripture. For example, the last series you did like that was out of the prophet Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, you did a series entitled Scripture on the Creator, in which we considered every reference to God as the Creator in the New Testament.
Yeah.
And in today's program, you're going to start a new series of programs.
That's right, Scott. It's been a while since we finished the series Creation in the Book of Isaiah.
A series of 28 programs, which was more than we had expected when we began that series.
Yes. But, you know, as we examined and studied our way through Isaiah, we found that creation, and more often, God being referred to as the Creator, was a common occurrence. So there are several reasons for including series like that on the Scripture on Creation program. The most important one being, it results in our learning all kinds of new things about God revealed in His Word. But Scott, I have to admit, there's also a very practical reason for doing these series.
Oh, what's that?
Well, I don't always have questions from listeners to address, which is something we give priority to on the Scripture on Creation radio program. So when I don't have a question to discuss, it's always convenient to continue forward in whatever series we're involved in. So the other day, as I was thinking that we probably needed to start a new series, I asked my dear wife, Karen, what she thought might be a good series to study. And she said, how about prayers in the Bible that called upon God as the Creator? And I immediately decided that that would be a great topic for our next series.
So how are you going to approach this series? Are you going to just pick certain prayers from various parts of the Bible or go in some order of appearance? Like, for example, you went in reverse order through the books of the New Testament when we studied Scripture on the Creator.
Yes, we did go backwards, so to speak, through the New Testament. But let's start at the beginning and go forward as we study the prayers of the Bible related to creation or the Creator.
Right. So we're going to start in Genesis chapter 1.
Well, that's a logical assumption, Scott. But actually, as best as I can determine, there aren't any prayers recorded in the Bible until the end of chapter 4 of Genesis. And even there, it's not a recorded prayer. It simply states that at that point in history, men began to call upon the name of the Lord, which would be praying, right?
Yeah.
In other words, they began to pray to Yahweh. But in that statement, there is no specific reference to the Lord as the Creator. And then comes the genealogy in Genesis chapter 5, and there are no prayers recorded there. But at the end of that chapter, we are introduced to a major character in the Bible. Actually, a major character in all of human history. And who would that be, Scott?
I think that would be Noah. And surely we'll find a prayer or two from him. Does Noah refer to the Creator in his prayers?
Scott, here's an amazing fact. Not only is there no recorded prayer by Noah in the Bible, there are no recorded words from Noah in the Bible except for his curse on his grandson, Canaan.
What? You mean except for that, Noah doesn't say anything?
Well, I think we surely must understand Noah said plenty. In fact, we know he was a preacher of righteousness during the years he was building the ark, but none of that is recorded. I counted 5 different occasions when the Lord spoke to Noah, from chapter 6 through chapter 9, but not once does it ever say Noah said anything. But you know what the Bible does say about Noah?
That Noah did what the Lord had said to do.
That's right. Noah did what the Lord told him to do. Now, I know we're not getting to the first prayer recorded in the Bible yet, but I think this is a powerful lesson God's Word is trying to teach us just by what it doesn't say. Scott, I know you're familiar with Hebrews chapter 11.
The Heroes of the Faith chapter, or the Hall of Faith, as it's sometimes called.
That's it. And who is the first person listed as those great examples of living by faith?
I'm pretty sure it's Abel.
Correct. Abel. And what does it say about him?
Well, let me just read it. The reference to Abel is in Hebrews 11:4. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts. And through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks.
Catch that. Though he is dead, he still speaks. But you know what? There is no record of Abel saying anything in Genesis. Cain talks a lot,
yeah,
but we have nothing Abel ever said written in Scripture. But his faith has been speaking for 7,000 years.
Mm.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And now let's read what it says in Hebrews 11 about Noah. Scott, read Hebrews 11:7.
Okay, it says, by faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith.
He prepared the ark, and by so doing, he condemned the world, not with his words, but by his actions. What a lesson we all need to take to heart and practice. So, Scott, as much as we would expect to find prayers of Noah recorded in the account of the flood in Genesis, for goodness sakes, there are none.
So, Dr. Scripture, there are no prayers recorded in Genesis, at least through chapter 9. I know that chapter 10 is a genealogy, so there probably aren't any prayers in that chapter.
Right.
So enough suspense already. We're going to run out of time.
Yeah.
Where is the first prayer? And as we're focusing on in this new series, the first prayer related to creation or the Creator.
It isn't until Genesis chapter 14. And it isn't a prayer of request. It's a prayer of intercession and blessing. And who do you think is the speaker?
Okay, I got Noah wrong, so I'm not going to venture a guess this time.
Okay, Scott, fair enough. Because if someone had asked me who said the first recorded prayer in the Bible, I'm pretty sure I would have gotten it wrong. Genesis chapter 14 records Abram's victory in battle over the kings of Canaan when he rescued his nephew Lot. So you logically might think we find a prayer of Abram.
Yeah.
But it's not him. Let's read Genesis 14, verses 17 through 20. I'll start. Then after his, and that's Abram's, return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Sheva, that is, the king's valley.
And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was a priest of God Most High.
And he, that's Melchizedek, blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth.
And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand.
So Scott, I think this is the first prayer recorded in the Bible. And the reason I would suggest that it's a prayer is he is blessing Abraham, but he's calling upon God to do it, and he's also blessing God, which is something that we would do in our prayers. And this prayer is given by Melchizedek, an amazing type of Christ in the Bible.
Yeah.
And we learn that in the book of Hebrews as well. How fitting. And though it's not obvious in this verse that we read, there is a reference to God as the Creator in this prayer. I'm going to read Genesis 14, 19 again, and I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. Now, Scott, read it from the NIV, please.
Okay. In the NIV, Genesis 14, 19 reads, and he blessed Abram, saying, blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth.
So the NIV interprets the word describing God Most High to mean creator. Now, it's not the word bara, but the Hebrew word used, which is kana, is probably best understood to mean creator in this case. It's a fairly common word, but it usually means to buy or acquire something. So I'll read one example in Genesis 25:9. which says, "Then his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah," speaking of Abraham, "in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hittite, facing Mamre, the field which Abraham purchased," and there's the use of that word, "purchased from the sons of Heth. There Abraham was buried with his wife Sarah." However, here is the first occurrence of the word Canaan, and it's in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. "Now the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain, and she said, 'I have gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord.'" And this word Canaan is translated gotten, and it's sort of interesting because the name Cain is sort of a play on that word, kana. So notice that this word kana is translated gotten, and it's, you get the sense that, you know, she made Cain, but of course she doesn't take full credit for it. She says it was with the help of the Lord. So here's this idea of being the originator of something. Then we see another interesting use of the word in Psalm 139, verse 13. "For thou didst form my inward parts. Thou didst weave me in my mother's womb." Here, the word kana is translated form. So we see it's not the word yatsar, but kana. And finally, one other use that I want to highlight of this word kana is the idea of buying or owning something. And of course, we've talked many times how making something is the same as owning it. And that is borne out by the use of this word kana in Isaiah 1:3, which says, "An ox knows its owner," there's our word, kana, "and a donkey its master's manger. But Israel does not know, my people do not understand." So this word kana is translated possessor, it's translated creator, it's translated owner, those things all being related and giving us a breadth of meaning of that word. So then we come to this first prayer in the Bible, spoken by the type of Christ himself, Melchizedek. And in this prayer, the fact that God Most High is the Creator is at the very heart of the prayer.
And Dr. Scripture, we stopped at verse 20, but I think it's also important to see that Abram refers to the Lord using the same terms.
Well, excellent point, Scott. Go ahead and read where Abram refers to the Lord.
It's in verse 22. Abram repeats this description or title used by Melchizedek. Genesis 14:22 says, "And Abram said to the king of Sodom, 'I have sworn to the Lord God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take a thread or a sandal thong or anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich.'"
So as you pointed out, Scott, here we see Abram literally using the exact same description of God that Melchizedek did. And he is also attributing to God the fact that he is the creator of heaven and earth. Finally then, I want to point out one other interesting place where this word kana is translated possessed, similar to how the New American Standard Bible translates this word back in Melchizedek's prayer. It's in Proverbs chapter 8, this large section that speaks of how God created everything using his wisdom. And in one sense, we might almost understand that this passage, starting in Proverbs 8, verse 22, is saying that God created wisdom. When it says, "The Lord possessed," here's our word, or could we say created? "The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his ways, before his works of old. From everlasting I was established, from the beginning, from the earliest times of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth." And that's not what I say, that's what wisdom says.
Thanks for listening. We hope you've enjoyed the program. If you have comments or questions you'd like Dr. Scripture to address, you can contact him by sending an email to scripture@scriptureoncreation.org or call 574-551-1524. You can also find lots of information about Dr. Scripture's ministry on the website, scriptureoncreation.org.